invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, taking a look at this church and the epistle written to them and to us, and considering a passage, a verse here, or the content of these verses here in chapter 2. Verse number 12 of chapter 2, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So we're admonished and commanded to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and that's not from the standpoint of figuring it out. We do not figure out our own salvation, but to work out that which is in. Again, we take a look at this. The Greek word here, work out, it speaks to work fully or to accomplish. We have pursuits in being saved. We are to be obedient. He says, "My beloved brethren, ye have always obeyed." Well, there is temptation not to obey. And he said, "You did so in my presence, but I admonish you to work and be obedient in his absence, in the apostles' absence. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And we want to understand about that clearly and correctly, about how that is. And verse 14 going on to say, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And so we're admonished there not to go the way of the flesh or the way of the world and natural thinking, but to work our salvation, that which we possess within from the Lord, to show that out in our conversation, the conversation of life, and that is only so by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. No person can do anything unto God or for God without the Spirit of God living within. And so that is the only way that we can do so, or are able to do so. We spoke about the Spirit and how the Spirit of God, the Spirit of our Lord, or about the flesh first and understanding about that. And by the Spirit of God, and who is never on vacation, never taking a break, he is a Spirit that lives within. We took a look last time about how not to grieve. We're told not to grieve the Spirit of God and not to quench the Spirit of the Lord. And it's a marvel to me, I trust to you too, how it is that the Spirit of the Lord, who created and moved upon the face of the deep, that raised Jesus from the dead, that saved our souls, the seven spirits of God, which are before the throne of God, that Jesus has in his dominion and his power as the God-man, that he's willing. The Holy Spirit of God, who is God also, is willing to live within us and at times be quenched and be grieved because he has all power. But that's the design and working of the Lord. And as the children of God, we find in this that we have responsibility to avail ourselves to the equipping that the Lord has given to us. That's our calling. We are told, "You wait until the flesh is mortified." No, we're not told that, are we? We're told to mortify the flesh. See, we're not told to wait till it is mortified. We're told to mortify it. It's active on our part. We need to be pursuing that. We will be able to with the Spirit of God living within us. Now, it's difficult for somebody who is not saved. They can't do things of the Lord without the Spirit of God within. See, and that's... being saved is having the Spirit of God, and if one is saved, we will be able to do by virtue of the Spirit of God and the power of God and his equipping. And so let none ever be thinking or deluded or persuaded that we can work ourselves into the service of God, because you can't. Sinners are called into repentance and faith first. And in salvation, having the Spirit of God, then we, with the power of God, by virtue of the Spirit and His equipping, will be able to serve, worship, and live for our Lord. The next thing that we want to take a look at is, and I told you last time that we want to take a look at our equipping. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 quickly, and we'll just read this verse here. The apostle is speaking about the provision for ministers in the church, those that work in the gospel to be supported and live of the gospel. But there's a principle here that we want to understand that just is so in life. And in verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 9, we see here this question, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who is given a job to pursue by another that goes of his own equipping, that goes of his own care? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? So there's always that return, and one might think in the context of warfare, well, mercenaries are well-equipped themselves, but see, they partake of the bounty of whatever conflict they mercenary themselves out of. They're paid by whom they are hired. I know that's a kind of a bad thought to think about, but soldiers don't volunteer with their own armor and that. There are occasions in history, but the typical thing is whoever conscripts them or to whom they volunteer equips them for the battle and the warfare that's being fought. So it is with our Lord. He has saved us, called us to be His sons, called us to be in His family. And we that are here and saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church, He's called us to His institution in this day. And we've not been called to equip ourselves. We won't do a good job of it anyway. And we don't really have anything because, indeed, we've been saved out of poverty, haven't we? We have. We're poor. And the Lord has equipped us. And so we want to see how the Lord has equipped us. And in that, we can have even more understanding about it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. By this equipping, we've been given this equipping. And wonderful and great is the equipping indeed. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we were last time, we saw something here, and we want to... start here again to understand about this equipping. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 17, this listing that's given here and this exhortation by the Apostle Paul to the Church of Thessalonica in Greece, he says in verse 16, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so this first equipping that we've been given, and probably the one that we take most for granted and least avail ourselves to, is this of prayer. We have been given the blessing of approaching God Almighty, God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for everything of life. Thanksgiving and praise unto Him. We're given audience to the greatest one that is. And it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if one that's saved is a king of the earth or a notable politician, one that has wealth and power, all the way to the poorest of the poor and the leper that was healed and saved by the Lord. Whatever we would esteem as being the lowest of the low. Being saved, we are admonished to pray without ceasing, and we can petition our Lord. And notice the order that it's placed. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And we are to be a rejoicing people, aren't we? You know, we teach this acronym to our children, and we who are older do well to abide by it too. We say, we will have joy as we put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And in prayer, how is it that we pray, brothers and sisters? Let us evaluate and introspect about our praying. It is natural for us to pray for ourselves and our own. But who was it that the Lord prayed for? Who is it that the Lord did for? Who is it that the Father sent the Son to seek and to save? It was for others. And so we need to be mindful of that. This pray without ceasing is second only in this listing to rejoicing, and that rejoicing is not rejoicing in ourselves, but rejoicing in the Lord, in His attributes, His graciousness and mercy and love exhibited to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Understand here, pray without ceasing is listed well before quench not the Spirit. You know, if we're not rejoicing, if we're not petitioning our Lord, if we're not giving thanks unto Him, well, I think we could understand that we would be quenching the Spirit within us. We need to be a praying people unto our God. And so many things. Do we pray only for the physical? Well, we should thank the Lord for the physical when we have physical needs. But is that number one? Are the physical needs and the physical things of life first on the list? Or is it not the spiritual, the souls of our children, our grandchildren, the souls of our neighbors, the needs that we know that one another has, the need to grow? Oh, yeah, certainly we're thankful for our food and for our clothing and our shelter, but there's so much more. The Lord Jesus tells us that in the Sermon on the Mount, that life is more than clothes and what we eat. There's more to life than that. And it's we wrangle with these things and we wrestle with these things, but may the Lord help us that we see what is important. You know, the greatest blessing that a sinner has is the salvation of their soul. A great blessing that we have is understanding about the truth. What a wondrous thing our Lord has done for us to bring the Word of God in the language that we can read. Brother Stephen dealing with that in his Sunday school class. I mean, that's the working of God on our behalf hundreds of years before you and I arrived on the scene. And He did that for us. He did that as a warning and a witness to mankind indeed, but being saved, being here and saved, and if you're here and you're not saved, understand what God has done to bring His Word to you. 40 men in 1,600 years to bring the truth of the Word of God right down here to you that you might hear it. And we pray that you would receive our Lord Jesus and be saved. Prayer for the needs of one another. Spiritual blessings, help and blessing in our church, and unity and understanding of the Lord's doctrine and teaching. I've been thinking about this of quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit. You remember the church over there in the book of the Revelation, where the Lord Jesus Christ stands outside that church, knocking, that's the context, knocking at the door of that church, and that's a figurative, parabolistic application that we might understand about what's going on. Jesus is on the outside of the church looking to come in and fellowship. Pray without ceasing. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, here our Lord Jesus, and Brother Bobby read this morning, Matthew chapter 6. We read in verse number 5. And when thou prayest, When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. Now certainly, praying to be heard and for show is not prayer unto the Lord. It's prayer with self and prayer with one another. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Lord will take care of the reward. The Lord will take care of the help and the blessing. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, the peeping and muttering of different ones, or the prayer by rote, as we mentioned even this morning, and praying out of a pray book written by others, if it's not in sincerity with from the heart, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Such things as the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers of the of Catholicism and that for the much speaking. 10 times for repentance for one sin and 30 times for repentance for another sin. That's not the design of prayer given by our Lord. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't go that way. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. He does know. And we need to ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To whom are we praying? Ourselves? You know, it's been known in churches where some have stood up to pray and because of their being troubled or being offended or whatever, will pray down another about which they're offended or troubled. That's not prayer. We're praying to the Lord. Our Father, Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus directs us to pray to. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, Lord, is what we want. Do we want the Lord's will? Do we desire that? Give us this day our daily bread. You wonder why the Lord didn't say, give us this week our weekly bread. You know what? We're expected to and should be praying before the next day, shouldn't we? Yeah. It's a daily continuous affair. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. We need to be a forgiving people as our Lord has forgiven us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've been thinking about that in recent times. Lead us not into temptation. Would it be that the Lord would lead us into temptation? Lead us not into temptation. Again, you've heard me say it, and we know that it's true. The Lord never tempts with sin. The Lord is never going to tempt someone and bait them with sin. He's going to challenge and admonish and command us to obey Him in things that if we don't, that becomes sin unto us. But the Lord's never going to tempt anybody with pornography. The Lord's never going to tempt anybody with robbing a bank. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the wiles of the devil. And lead us not into temptation. Would does that mean that the Lord would lead us into temptation? No, not into temptation with sin. The Lord does try His people, though, doesn't He? You know, we pray often, and we're thankful for the hedge. Some of you brethren, when you pray for a hedge of protection around our young people, around our church. You know, that's good. We need the Lord to protect. There's so much wickedness and vile devices out there that are looking to consume our children and their hearts. And we need the Lord's protection because, you know, a parent and a grandparent, an aunt and an uncle, the older siblings that have influence over younger, whatever the case may be, we just can't keep track of everything, can we, to protect? And we need the Lord to protect. We need the Lord to protect us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus prayed in John 17 about the children of God and those that the Lord had given him and those that would come and by the hearing of their witness and that, he says, and keep them from the evil. What is the evil? I'm of the opinion that the evil is that of disobeying the Lord and doubting the Lord. We look at the children of Israel about the evil. And the greatest thing that the children of Israel had was that they would not and did not believe the Lord. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Again, praise and worship to the Lord. If we would evaluate our prayer, how much of it is praise and worship? How much is it supplication for others? How much is it a thanksgiving? How much is it for ourselves? If it's all for ourselves, which is my natural tendency, I'm out of balance, aren't I? If it's all in thanksgiving, but no supplication for anyone, I'm out of balance, aren't I? The thanksgiving is right. The personal need is right. But there's supplication and glorification of the Lord and all of those pieces and parts of it. And then he says here, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And we pray, asking the Lord to forgive us our sins, confessing our faults to him, right? Our transgression. And do I want forgiven? I do. You do too. We need to be a forgiving people. And it goes along with prayer, doesn't it? In Luke chapter 11, there's another aspect of prayer that we need to understand. And again, the equipping, this greatness, this great equipping of our Lord. Prayer is the first, I believe it's the first thing the Lord gives a child of his and salvation and beyond, because prayer will be necessary and instrumental in the entire life of a child of God. You know, think of it this way. We had lunch together. We talk about things. We may be subject to talk about the Bible. We might have questions. We'd ask one another. We'll catch up on things that happened in the week. We'll voice our frustrations one with another about things. Things that we're looking forward to, we might share those. Somebody that we know, that we might ask one another to pray for them. You know, we, by visiting and fellowshipping together, we learn what's on one another's hearts, right? We learn what's important to one another, don't we? Well, if we don't ever pray to the Lord, then how is there fellowship with the Lord in that regard? If we don't ever pray, the Lord knows what we're thinking, and the Lord knows what's important to us, and the Lord knows what's on our mind, granted. But from what we're given in prayer, how is there that a relationship with our Lord ever becomes deeper if we're never speaking to him? And, of course, how is it that he speaks to us? Well, he speaks to us through his word and by his spirit. We don't hear him audibly, but I tell you what, in conviction, it's just as well or better than audibly, isn't it? Because when he takes the word of God or takes particular things in our lives and begins to squeeze us about those, we know it's him that's talking to us. But if we don't avail ourselves to his word, how do we know what's on his mind? How do we know what's on his heart? Right? I don't know about you, but it's happening even more and more. For some reason, I'm forgetting things that I used to remember all the time. We need things backed up, don't we? We need the little details reinforced, don't we? And so it is in the relationships that we have and how we talk and visit and spend time together and share with things one with another. Well, the relationship with our Lord is no different in that. And what if the communications broke down? What if there is no consuming of His Word? No sitting under the teaching and preaching of His Word? No praying to Him? What happens? What happens when that happens with you with us? If we don't get to visit, and granted, our relationships may endure a time of separation, but we don't know what's going on now, do we, if we don't communicate? And so it is with us and our Lord. We need to be communicating with Him. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 9, our Lord Jesus says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you." The disciples here had asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to pray, and like John taught his disciples, John the Baptist. And so he gives them the model prayer and that, and then he speaks about this, about a friend coming at midnight to another and says, "I've got some visitors, I need some bread, get up." He said, "Oh, don't leave me alone, everybody's in bread, this place is shut down, the kitchen is shut down for the night." And listen to what the Lord said in verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend," the friendship is not going to be the reason he gets up, "yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." What's that importunity? Get up, I need some bread. Get up, I need some bread. Get up, I need some bread. He won't quit. Won't quit till when he gets the bread. And notice this. The ASK of prayer. The ASK of prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. Asking. Lord, help me to understand what I should do. Help me to understand in your word what the truth is about this subject. Lord, is this the way you would have us to go? Or is this the way that you would have us to go? The ASK of prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. We speak about, you hear me often speak about seeking the Lord's face. And seeking the Lord's face, what does that mean? Well, it's I would envision it like a child not just hearing, but seeing the face of their parent and their instruction to them about what to do. We want to know what the will of the Lord is, isn't it? Seeking the Lord's face. We want to know front on from Him what His will is. And sometimes that'll take some time sometimes. Sometimes we ask and ask for years or even for decades for things that we know are good and right that will glorify God. I think that's a key, is asking the Lord for things for that which will glorify Him. I think that is a key thing. But asking and then seeking, Lord, is this the answer? Help me to understand. Knocking, it's about direction. You got 10 doors in front of you. Is this the door? Is this the door? We speak about that as the Lord has given an open door of opportunity. We see that mentioned in the scriptures, don't we? An open door. Lord, is this the way? Sometimes we have our minds made up, don't we? This is the door that is the way. And then we'll take and we'll, as my pastor used to say, we'll knock it down. And then we'll go ahead and go through it. We got to watch that. We need to be asking and seeking and knocking. And then in James chapter 1. And this is familiar to us, I know. But But I think that there is a principle here that, frankly, that in regards to this passage that I have missed. In James chapter 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, what did that say? Might be given him? May possibly be given to him? Most likely will be given. It doesn't say that, does it? But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't chew you out. He doesn't berate you for coming to him. He will not berate us. And it shall be, but gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. So, for sure, with this passage, if we lack wisdom, the Lord says, if you'll ask me for it, I'll give it to you. And won't run you away from the throne of grace and say, what are you doing here asking for that? We might do that for our children. I've already told you no. Get away from here. That's enough for today. Don't ask me that again. Right? He says, it shall be given him. There's a condition. But let him ask in faith. Have you ever heard or done yourself, said, well, I prayed for that, but I knew it wouldn't work. I knew that wasn't going to happen. I prayed for it, but I knew it wasn't going to work. Not really asking, are we? Not really seeking, not really knocking, are we? But let him ask in faith, faith in the Lord, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen about the waves of a great body of water. And the wind blows and drives the waves. They lap up on the shore. And the foam that comes out of that. And if the wind starts blowing a different direction, there the waves go that way. No, we need to be set on our course. And what we desire, what would be glorifying to the Lord, we need to ask in faith from him. Lord, I need your help with this. And I think that this is the way that this should go. This is the desire of my heart. But if you want me to have something else in this, help me to see it and understand it. I tell you what, that would be wisdom, wouldn't it? I so want this. But you know, maybe the Lord knows that I need this. And wisdom to receive what the Lord does. I tell you what, that's a great place of blessing, isn't it? You know, there's wisdom that we need in working and pursuing projects. And I think it's speaking about that too. The Lord can help us to see and to be able to do and to gain understanding about how to accomplish things. I think that wisdom is there. I think that they can be speaking about that. But wisdom to receive the Lord's will, I think, is a part of it too. To not press on before the Lord, to not lag behind, but to be on time with him. But we got to ask in faith. The Lord will answer my prayer. Now, he may not answer it the way I'm asking, but he will answer my prayer. And he will glorify himself, because when my heart's right, that's what I want the most. You know, we see about and understand about the impossibilities of the Lord, right? That's when he shines his greatest. Because always remember, with every situation that we face, there well could be a thing, I didn't know he would deal with that way. That's where we as the children of God are called to wait on the Lord. We bring our petition, we bring our desire, but we need to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Don't be like the waves of the sea and of great bodies of water that the wind blows here, the wind blows there, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, the scripture. We need to have our purpose and our focus upon the Lord. Lord, here's the situation. Here's the help I think we need. We pray you'd bless with that and help us in this and help us to see what you do. I've been praying that for folks in different things, in different aspects, that not only would the Lord help them, but they would see that the Lord has helped them. Because therein is wisdom. Not only that the Lord would help and deliver, but they would see that the Lord has done it. For let not that man, the one that wavers and does not ask in faith, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. See that one, that attitude that I mentioned earlier, I prayed and I prayed and prayed, nothing's happened. Didn't expect anything to happen anyway. Huh? Nothing's going to happen with that kind of attitude. Nothing will happen. The Lord is not honored when there's a lack of faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. This is the way. This is now the way. This is 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 the way. This way. Can't ever. There's that wave tossed around by the sea. Double-mindedness. Over here's the answer. Over here's the answer. Maybe this is it. And granted, as we look at a situation, we consider the options. That's not a bad thing. But for one day thinking the other thing, you know, I think in this that we can see a manifestation of a lack of patience. We ask. We want an instant answer. That's our culture. Got a problem, get an answer. 22.5-minute sitcom answer. Life's not that way. And the Lord is not going to be bound to the timing of men. Now, here's what I want to pose to you. If any of you lack wisdom, what if we lack something else? You know, is this just relegated to wisdom? Or if we lack something else, I think the principle is there, isn't it? If we lack, because we know we need wisdom, but we know we need other things too. Have you ever read, studied, looked, consumed the Word of God, and granted, wisdom is in that, I understand, but didn't understand what it meant and how it applied, and read and prayed and asked the Lord to open up understanding about it, and then maybe go and somewhere a brother would preach or teach, and the Lord would just open that up to you. And there we have a thing where knowledge is opened up of the Word of God, application, the interconnection, as an example. If we lack knowledge, is the Lord going to hold up on giving knowledge to someone that's asking, seeking, and knocking for knowledge? He's glorified in it. He's glorified in it. We are poor. Standing before the Lord in and of ourselves, I mean, we are poor. We have nothing. And then he saves us and makes us his children. Does he want his children to be poor in eternal spiritual things? Is that the design of God? No, not at all. But we've got a responsibility to ask, to seek, and to knock, to avail ourselves to what he's given us in this wonderful, wonderful thing of prayer. And then you know this. I know you know this passage. In Mark chapter 11, reinforcing what we see in James chapter 1, Mark 11 verses 24 and 25, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them." Again, that of faith. Knowing the Lord will help and he will answer. He knows our situation before we know it. But he wants and he is glorified in us taking that to Him. And remember, this about prayer is us speaking to God, us talking with God, us asking God, at times, and you understand how I mean this, and the way that David did, us complaining to God, not murmuring. But Lord, you saw how this went and what's going on here, and you know that I'm upset about it, and I pray that you would help me with it to do well, and I pray that you would help the others that are involved to do well, and that you would right the wrong, that you would help and heal the misunderstanding, that you would, you know, whatever the situation is. We find it very easy to complain to one another, don't we? I mean, that's how we get help. I just needed somebody to listen. Well, that's a real thing. Sometimes we need somebody to listen. You know who's there for the children of God, desiring very much to listen? Our Lord. Our Lord. That's how the relationship is cultivated. When you pray, believe that you receive an answer for your prayer, and you shall have them. And then he says in verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Again, forgiveness needs to be right there at the edge of the offense for us. It needs to be, we need to be forgiving people. We have been forgiven much, and we need to be forgiving as our Lord Jesus has forgiven us. And then lastly, in regards to this of prayer, is Hebrews chapter 4. And our Lord Jesus, being great high priest, our intercessor, our mediator, our intercessor, there at the right hand of God, this chapter that deals with the threefold rest of the Lord, and how it is that we can have rest by availing ourselves to the Word of God. And this chapter ends up with these three verses. Seeing then, verse 14, we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens. There at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We confess Christ as Savior when we're saved. He saved me. And then as we go on in life, we say, the Lord saved me. He can save you too. We profess Christ as we go. Let us not deny, let us not be found ever denying what the Lord has done for us. We confess Him when we're saved. We do that in our understanding, our context is confessing the Lord in regards to baptism. We confess that Christ has saved us, and I'm following in baptism to show what's been done to me, what Christ did for me, what's been done to me. I'm a new creature, and I've been raised to a new life in Him, and by that join in the church. And then as we go on and live, we profess the Lord. We witness and testify of Him, of His salvation, His saving grace towards us and towards sinners that repent and believe and trust in Him. And so let us hold fast that profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus knows. You can say to me about different subjects, Brother Jim, you just don't understand. And that's true, because I've not been through it. But the Lord Jesus understands. He gets it. He knows what it feels like in the flesh. He knows what it feels like physically. He knows what it feels like emotionally. He knows it. What greater sounding board do we have than our Lord Jesus? We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So the temptation, Lord, you know that this is troubling me. I need your help. I need this displaced out of my heart and my mind. Help me. Help me with this. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It's from the throne of God that His graciousness proceeds. He gives this that's not deserved to this one. He gives this that's not deserved to His child. He gives this that's not deserved to the sinner and saves them and rescues them. He gives this to a church. He gives this to a family. He's grace, the graciousness of the Lord, his action unto sinners and unto his children, it just emanates from his throne. That's where there's no shadow of turning there, and it is from there that all goodness flows. From that throne, that two-seated throne in glory. Is there any other origin? Is there any other source? That's the place, isn't it? Okay, so now he says, let us therefore come boldly to that throne, that we may obtain mercy. We can obtain mercy by going there and asking and seeking and knocking. And we can find grace there for us. How can I heal Clarissa from her cold? I can do things for her. I make sure she has a fever. I can wipe her brow. I can bring her liquids. I can get her Tylenol. I can do all. How can I affect her healing? Stephen can't heal Natalie from strep. And he took her to the doctor the other day, got her some medicine. But if the Lord doesn't bless that medicine, she won't be healed. But you know what? We can go to the Lord and ask the Lord to heal and to work. And you know what? He is able to do it. Mercy. Graciousness. Let us go to that throne. Let us therefore come boldly into it. We belong as the children of God, that we might find grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer. Our equipping of the Lord. May the Lord help us that we be mindful always of prayer. A great, great blessing. Prayer is a blessing, a provision, an equipping of the Lord that in my mind and my understanding is it kind of completes the circle. We have the great work of God that he is accomplishing and that he is determined from before time. We're given glimpses and pieces of parts of that. Let us never think that we know the entire mind of God. We cannot know it, but he gives us little glimpses and pieces of it. We have the great salvation that he has saved us with. We have this calling and this instruction, this pursuit as the children of God. We've got a great mission as his people and as his church. And how does that link up back up with the great work and plan of God? I believe it does so by prayer. We can petition him to help us in this work and these things, this life that he's called us into, where everything is really impossible for us, but certainly possible by his power and his spirit. Isn't it wondrous? When we go on to be with the Lord, we're going to marvel at the understanding that we gain. We're just like, what this is right here, I think we can see and understand more and more. It's just kind of like the door's cracked. And there's light shining just through the crack of the door. We know that it's bright and brilliant on the other side, but we're by no means seeing it all. May the Lord help us on what we do have, what we have been given, what we do see, that we would take that and use that to glorify our Savior until he comes back for us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Praise God for his Spirit.